So good to see all your smiling faces out here today. That must mean you had a really good day yesterday. I'm so glad that you are having a good day today, too. Father, we just thank you and praise you. And you see each and every heart that's here this morning. You know each and every desire in that heart. I'm asking you right now, Father God, to minister to each person individually. Meet every one of their needs. Give them new revelation knowledge, Father, of what you're doing in their lives. And Father God, we just thank you that you are here in all your splendor, and that you are ministering to your people. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, and your angelic host. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father God, for without your Spirit, we would be nothing. And we say all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we know that we're headed into a new year, not too many days from now. And we know that God has said the new year is going to hold blessings and tragedy. But we also know that God said that he was going to keep us no matter what was going on. Now, you have to get that down in your spirit before the new year starts, because the enemy's going to try to make you believe that God's not in control. So I'm asking you this morning just to really, truly get your hearts aligned with the things that God's spoken to you, to your personal life, and allow God to do what he needs to do, and that's to change you totally and completely. That last song we sang, I wanted to sing last because, you know, God doesn't really have to show up in your life. But he always does. It doesn't matter if it's a good thing or a bad thing. God's always there with you. And he's always leading, guiding, and directing you if you place yourself into his hands. And we have nothing to fear. Absolutely nothing to fear. Because do you believe that God's in control? See, that's where it all boils down to. Do you really believe with every fiber of your being that God is in control no matter what's going on in your life? We have to take the good with the bad and the bad with the good. God just doesn't say, well, you don't have to do any bad. You don't take any bad because that's life. Like God's always told me, daughter, that's life and you have to live life. Just because you serve me doesn't mean you don't have to live life. And I'm sort of glad about that. It would be awful boring just to have the same thing going on day in and day out. And, you know, just sitting around never having any problems. Because if you don't have any problems, then you can't help anybody else in their problems. You know, you can't say to somebody else, well, you know, God is in control and God is more than enough. If you haven't already witnessed it, how are you going to tell somebody else about it? So let's quit fussing about the bad times. And let's just thank God that he's in both the bad and the good times. And let's enter into the new year with full anticipation that God is on the throne and he's doing a brand new thing in our life. And if you're like, I think we're all in the same boat, we don't know what God's doing. We literally don't know what God's doing. He says what? Stand still. He just says, stand still. So that means go about your everyday life. Quit fretting about every little thing that comes down the pike. And just know that God's in control. I feel sorry for those who have gone along the wayside and have not yet came back to the first love. Because if they continue down the path that they're on, it's going to be too late. In fact, God said in the word this morning, get there before the door closes. Father, I just ask you right now to take full control. There's something in the atmosphere that's not you, God, and we didn't invite it. So right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind and I rebuke every spirit of darkness and hell in the grave that would try to come in here and close the people's ears to the truth of your word. Father, we can't do anything unless the Holy Spirit's moving. So we ask the Holy Spirit to come in all of its glory and to minister this morning. And we just thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it, Father. Yeah, I just hear God say the heaviness is always going to be in the atmosphere. because of the time that we're living in. And so what we have to do is press through the heaviness and get up in there into the third heaven where the heaviness does not exist. And this is where a lot of us fail, including me. You know, we feel the heaviness, but we don't press through. We just say, well, I wonder what that's all about. But what we have to do when we feel that heaviness is immediately start pressing through so that we can get past that heaviness and get into the glory where God's at. And then I'm hearing God say, when you do that, then he can rain down upon the people because you have made a way for him to do that. The church has a job to do, and the church is not doing its job. We need to pray, and we need to break those veils and that heaviness that's over the nation. And we need to pray through into it so God can move and do the things he wants to do. All right? Please don't just sit by and, oh, well, that's the way it is. That is not the way it is. That is not the way it is in heaven. And so we shouldn't say that's the way it is and just walk on like you have no control. You do have control. You have all power and all authority according to God's word, right? So then you do have control. This morning, God wants to talk about take me to the river. Psalm 46:4 says, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of our God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Now, what this is all about is God wants to take you to the river today. He wants to put you in the river and drown you. We've gone to the river. Some have stepped in and just waded around a little bit. But this morning, God told me, he said, I want to totally saturate them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Remember, God told me, I'm going to take you to the river and I'm going to put my foot on your neck and hold you down there until I drowned you. And this is what God has spoken to me. He has to do to the entire body of Christ so that you're so full of the Holy Spirit that the enemy has no way in. So Psalm 46:4 says, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of our God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Now in Psalms 46:4, we're told of a river that exists in heaven. But there is another river that directly flows from this heavenly river. I've taught about this before, but we're going at it in a different direction this morning. It is the river of the Holy Spirit within the believer. This river God's talking about this morning is a river that's within you. Ezekiel 47 verse 1 says, then he brought me back to the door of the temple. I saw a stream flowing eastward from beneath the temple and passing to the right of the altar that is on its south side. Then he brought me outside the wall through the north passageway and around to the eastern entrance where I saw the stream flowing along on the south side of the eastern passageway. I put eastern in the parentheses because God keeps telling me, watch the east. Keep watching the east. Now, measuring as he went, he took me 1,500 feet east along the stream and told me to go across. At that point, the water was up to my ankles. And I want you to think here this morning, how high are you in the water? Or how deep are you in the water? He measured off another 1,500 feet and told me to cross again. This time, the water was up to my knees. 1,500 feet after that, it was up to my waist. Another 1,500 feet, and it had become a river. So deep, I wouldn't be able to get across unless I were to swim. So it was too deep to cross on foot. How deep are you in the spirit? I mean, think about this morning. He told me to keep in mind that I had seen. I'm sorry. He told me to keep in mind what I had seen, then led me back along the bank. And now, to my surprise, many trees were growing on both sides of the river. He told me this river flows east through the desert and the Jordan Valley to the Dead Sea, where it will heal the salty waters and make them fresh and pure. Everything touching the water of this river shall live. Fish will abound in the deep sea, for its waters will be healed. Wherever this water flows, everything will live. You have to be full of the Spirit of God if you're going to get out there and witness and cause the dead bones to come to life. That's what this is all about. Everywhere you go, does people come to life? Or do you bog them down? You should not be part of a person's problem. You should be a part of their solution. And the only way you can be part of their solution is if you're full of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of prophets are talking right now about how God's very upset that the churches are not allowing the Holy Spirit into their services or even into their churches. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you might as well close the door, because you're not bringing any life into anybody. It's only by the Holy Spirit that people's lives can be changed. That's the problem in the house of God, is there's too many people not changing. And the reason why they're not changing is because they don't have the Holy Spirit abiding within. They might be just ankle deep, and they never get any deeper. God wants us in over our heads. All right, it says, fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea, fishing all the way from Engada to Esglam. The shores will be filled with nets drying in the sun. Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea just as they do the Mediterranean. There's all types of people out there, lost and dying. They need you out there in the highways and the byways, touching the atmosphere around them so that their lives can be changed. But the marshes and swamps will not be healed. They will still be salty. Some people you're not going to be able to save. I mean, that's just a given, because I tried to save everybody. And God said, that's not your job. You just give the word. The Holy Spirit does the convicting. And he said, and the word tells you, too, that not everybody is going to find that narrow road. All kinds of fruit trees will grow along the river banks. The leaves will never turn brown and fall, and there will always be fruit. You should be always carrying fruit. And then as you carry fruit and you go forth and you start ministering to people, then that fruit, then they'll start carrying fruit. And then see, then they'll go out and then they'll minister. Then other people will carry fruit. We're supposed to give out freely what God has given us. And the only way it can grow that fruit is through the Holy Spirit. I've watched too many people minister in the flesh. And flesh just begets flesh, right? It's by the Spirit of God that things are changed. If you're gonna open a church or a business or do glow, if you don't put the Spirit of God in it, forget it. It's not gonna grow. It is just not gonna grow. Your business won't grow. Your church won't grow. The people won't change. You have to have the Holy Spirit working. Years ago, God told us no more religion. It's now spirit calling to spirit. And he said, that's the only way it's going to work. God doesn't lie. Why are you still trying to work in your flesh? Why are you still laboring all the time? Spirit calls to spirit. Somebody say, well, I've got the Spirit overflowing. Then why are you fretting all the time? You know, you can't change it. The Holy Spirit can. And if you really, truly have faith to believe that the Holy Spirit can, then you won't be fretting about anything. You'll be putting it in God's hands, letting God take care of it. All right, in a vision, Ezekiel was shown this river and told of its function and purpose. First, he was invited to enter its ankle-deep waters. Water at the shallow level was non-threatening and easy to maneuver in. That's why people don't want the Holy Spirit in their churches. You know, nothing's a threat to them. They can do whatever they want to do with no consequences, they think. But when you have the Holy Spirit and you let him rule and reign in the church, he's going to change the people. And if they become unteachable, he removes the people. You have to be very, very careful when you're ministering for God that you don't get so haughty and high-minded that you become unteachable. And I don't know about you, but it's really hard for me to sit under somebody that's not walking in the Spirit. Because, see, they're trying to control instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to move. And if you don't do what they say to do, you know, they're ministering in the flesh. And if you don't do what they say to do, they get upset with you and they remove you. You know, that happens in churches all the time. All right, so at first he was invited to enter its ankle-deep waters. Water at this shallow level was non-threatening and easy to maneuver in. Ezekiel was in no danger of being swept away in the current or losing control of his balance as long as he stayed in this place with his feet firmly planted in the ankle-deep water. Ezekiel was then taken knee-high and then waist-high into the river. At this level, he could no longer easily move on his own, but was beginning to feel the power of the turbulent waters surrounding him. There was a sense of weightlessness now as he began to feel a part of a force that was much bigger and stronger than himself. It was a whole new environment with foreign and unfamiliar properties. When you truly walk in this Spirit, Holy Spirit, it is a whole new environment. Ever since I've been born again, I've always filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, what, about 20 years ago when God said, I'm removing my Holy Spirit because the people are walking all over it, making fun of it, he said, I'm removing it. Now, that to me was an environment that I have not liked. It's dead, it's foreign, and it brings forth no fruit, none. And I can't wait till God brings it back in its fullness into the church. If you're walking in the Spirit and you're sitting in a church full of dead people, it's like spinning your wheels. Nothing is happening. And everything's stagnant. It stays the same. And you're wondering, God, what is this all about? Why can't they change? A lot of people are told that there isn't such a thing as a Holy Spirit. And that I feel sorry for them because they're going to have to stand before God one day and be judged for that. It was a whole new environment with foreign and unfamiliar properties. He could no longer function the same as he did on land or even as he did in the shallow waters. He had to adapt to this new and uncomfortable feeling of the swift current. How many of you really do feel uncomfortable right now with the Holy Spirit, you know, trying to change your life, trying to teach you the new way to walk, and you're unfamiliar with everything he's trying to show you, and so you really don't know what to do. You're just sort of standing there saying, all right, God, do whatever you're going to do, but please show me something anyhow, one little thing that'll help me understand what's going on. What's he say? Be still. You just be still. I'm taking care of everything. Our problem is we don't know how to be still. We think we have to be constantly controlling somebody or something. So becoming part of the river, just as he was beginning to get used to this new place in the river, Ezekiel was taken to a deeper level. See, this is, you know, God says, I take you from glory to glory to glory. And this is what that's what the glory to glory is. He takes you deeper and deeper into the waters. And as he takes you deeper, there's new revelation in that deeper water. He's trying to change you. He's trying to rearrange you. He's trying to make you like his son Jesus, but you're fighting against the moving of the Spirit, and you're causing yourself a whole lot of problem and discord, I'm hearing God say. Just as he was beginning to get used to this new place in the river, Ezekiel was taken to a deeper level where he could no longer feel the river floor beneath him. See, that's the trouble with the body of Christ. They want to feel something, right? If they can't feel something, they get all excited, bad excited. and they want to go backpedal back to where they could feel something. Being in the Spirit isn't about feeling anything. It's about being led by the Spirit, hearing His voice of instruction and telling you which way to go. So Ezekiel now seemed to be part of the river itself. Crossing by foot in his own strength and ability was no longer possible. This is what's the problem with a lot of people in the body of Christ. They're trying to do things in their own strength. I don't know about you, but I know I can't do anything without Christ, without the Holy Spirit. I should say the Holy Spirit. You can't even get a song service together if you don't have the Holy Spirit in working. You can't get a sermon together if you don't have the Holy Spirit in control. You can't even get dressed right if the Holy Spirit's not in control. That's the reason why a lot of you have trouble with your jobs. You don't take the Holy Spirit to work with you. You don't tell Him, lead me and guide me in the way I should go today. And then when things turn out bad, then you start blaming everybody but yourself. And you should be blaming yourself. And I feel right now like I'm spinning my wheels. Some of you aren't quite receiving this the way you should be receiving it. That's okay. I'm not the problem. I'm just giving you what God's telling me to give you. If you don't get in the river now, you're not going to get in the river. He wants you in the river for you. He told me last night, I want them in the river before they go into the new year. Because He's getting ready to just shut the door on people who just want to stand there and do nothing. In fact, crossing over wasn't even the goal anymore for Ezekiel. Getting to the other side no longer seemed important. What was important now was simply learning to flow with the river. You can't really worship the Father unless you're flowing in the Spirit, can you? You really can. If you're just standing here, your mouth just moving and you're just saying words and you're not in the Spirit, you're not getting anything out of praise and worship. And really, truly, God likes to move during praise and worship. That's when He likes to do His signs, wonders, and miracles. I've had God tell me I couldn't even have a song service because the people weren't, when they were singing, they really weren't praising Him. They were just singing. So we just didn't have a song service. Nothing wrong with that. God said, they're not honoring me. Oh, no, we have to give protocol. Now we have to have two songs. We have to open up in prayer and have two songs. No, we don't go that way. What does God want to do in your meetings or in your services? Right? Like I might say something to Grace, who does flagging. Grace, I'd like to flag to this song. And if the Spirit isn't moving in her to flag that song, she can't do that. It might sound good to me. And I might think, just see her flowing with that song. But she's the one that's flagging. She's the one that's in the Spirit. So she has to listen to what God's telling her to do. It doesn't bother me any. She just write and say, I just can't do the flagging in that song. And I accept that because I know about moving in the Spirit. Now, what about you? Do you move in the Spirit when you're out evangelizing or whatever you're doing? All right, so let's say you're in a Christian meeting. And, you're the only Spirit-filled person there. Everybody else has their religion, brought their religion to the meeting. So you're sitting there in that meeting with your little Spirit-filled self. And God's telling you something. But they're talking about something totally different. You don't chide in with them. You just sit and be quiet. You know what God's telling you. You sit and be quiet. You don't try to make them see what's going on. If God really wants you to speak something, He will make a way for you to speak. Otherwise, you keep quiet. All right? All right, Ezekiel was to become familiar with the way the river turned and eddied. The river was the focus, the destination was not. Being filled with the Holy Spirit to overflowing is your destination, not what's going to happen after that. You first of all have to be filled with the Spirit before anything else can happen. Now he had to completely surrender his body and will to the relentless, unstoppable torrent of the water. Some of you in here today, you have to now do what Ezekiel had to do, completely surrender your body to the Holy Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is the most wonderful thing that you could possibly do, but at times it's the most difficult thing you can do. Because God, you know, with me, I know you're going to call me before you ever call me. And I told somebody a week ago, I feel a distance between you and I. And they said, no, but the distance came. See, if you're walking in the Spirit, God will let you know beforehand what's going to happen, not when you're in the midst of it. And he will also tell you the outcome of it. All right? So, you know, why not want to be walking in the Spirit so that God has full reign, rule and reign to tell you what's going to happen to you before it ever happens? And then you're ready for it when it does happen. And I'm hearing God saying you won't have to deal with the consequences of not knowing what the enemy was about to do in your life. You know, you who come to the church all the time, God talks to me all the time about you. He tells me what you're getting ready to go into, exactly how it's going to happen, how exactly it's going to end up. That's because you're my sheep, I'm the shepherd, and I have to be walking in the Spirit so I can lead you in the path that you need to go into so that the enemy doesn't take you out. So if you're a pastor, then you have to be walking in the Spirit, taking care of your sheep. But no, a lot of pastors don't do that. Even in different functions in churches, they don't do that. You want positions, but you don't really want to be bothered with helping take care of the people that's under you. And you aren't walking in the Spirit, so you're making all kind of wrong decisions and destroying the people under you. All right? Sometimes we just need to keep our nose on our own faces. You know, God, that's what God told me years ago. He said, you don't worry about what somebody asked about a church down the road. I said, I really don't know. And God said, you won't ever know. You're the pastor of this church, not the pastor of the church down the road. So you don't need to know what they're doing. You just need to know what I'm doing with you. And that's a good thing. I have a hard time with you a handful without going to some sticking my nose in some other church. Are you understanding this? All right, then. Swimming with the flow was Ezekiel's only option now. Once you start in the Spirit, you don't have the option to quit. You have to stay flowing in the Spirit. If you quit flowing in the Spirit, guess what? You got to walk away. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit will not. If you don't want to walk in the Spirit, he will not stay with you. Going against the tide would cause Ezekiel to quickly lose strength, and he was too deep to touch bottom and stand on his own again. How many of you know that you're too deep into the river, and you need to make sure you're holding on to the Savior's hand, or you're going to drown? I mean literally drowned. Or some of you haven't even tried the Spirit, so you're just standing there. Looking around you, wondering what in the world is going on, why are these people acting so dumb? And you're the dumb one because you don't have the anointing of the Spirit. So you're just standing there, and you know, and you're not getting anything, but these ones are acting a little crazy. They're getting everything from God. Finally, Ezekiel was taken to the shore again. His perspective was no longer on his place and position in the river, but on the purpose of the river itself. Now, I want to stop here. You know, I know I'm a prophet. I know I'm the pastor of this church. But do I not allow you people to prophesy and minister to people? See, I'm not worried about my position. I know where I stand in Christ Jesus. And I know I'm led by the Spirit of God. And I'm supposed to be training you to walk in the Spirit so that God can use you, excuse me, and send you forth. Do you understand this? When you keep wanting to be in control, then you're out of control. And God wants, we're all supposed to be working together. It's not going to be, remember, it's not going to be one big person. It's going to be everybody working together for this harvest that's coming in. But I see a lot of people working by themselves. Excuse me. They're not going to bring anything in. This is a teaching lesson for a lot of you today. God's getting ready this new year. He's getting ready to place you in your positions. And you're not really ready to take those positions because you're not flowing in the Spirit and allowing God to lead you the way you need to go. And I'm being honest with you. Sometimes I'll say, God, I don't know what you're doing with me right now. And I've never been like that before. I just don't know what you're trying to do. And he says, you will. You know, it's a training session right now. He's taking us from the old to the new. It's a transition. And sometimes transitions don't run smoothly. If we keep kicking against the goads, they don't run smoothly. But if we just say, all right, God, you're in control, and just let him use you and just move on, you'll be fine. I'm going to tell you, you need to know this to move into the positions that God's trying to get you into. I don't care what your pastor's done or is doing. I don't care what some other leader did or is doing. It's you that God is dealing with. It's you he's trying to get prepared, because, believe me, we're going to see a lot of new faces come on the scenes, and it's going to be the younger faces come on the scenes, and God needs to get them ready so they can go ahead and minister and not make a whole lot of mistakes. A lot of older people don't want to let go of the rain. And if they don't even realize that they're not letting go of the rain, God's just raising them higher. And he's using the younger people now to do the things that we used to do. And God needs us to be there to help them so they don't stumble and fall and make all the mistakes that we made. All right? All right, the river was a living, healing entity that flowed with restoration. When you flow with the Holy Spirit, God restores things to you. I'm hearing him say he wants, in this river, he wants to restore your hope. He said the body of Christ has lost hope, and he wants to restore hope. And how many of you could honestly say, if you was honest, you know, a lot of churches, you know, church people don't like to be honest because after all, they want to look spiritual. That every now and then you lose hope, right? You know, the cares of life just come and just wash over you, and you just feel hopeless. You just don't know what to do. And then people talk, Christians talk into your life stupid stuff and drag you down more. I mean, that's just the way it works. Why has God been calling us into the river? To restore us back to our rightful place in the body of Christ. Why has God been calling us to the river to restore us back into our rightful place in the body of Christ? When the river reached the seas, they were healed. Trees grew and thrived along its banks, and fish were plentiful within its depths. The only place where the river would not flow was in the stagnant and inactive waters of the marshes and swamps, which means indifferent, hard-hearted souls. When the river reached the seas, they were healed. You know, guys, if you're not healed, if you yourself are not healed, and you have brokenness within, you can't go heal somebody else. You know, if you're so concerned about your position and what people saying about you, how are you going to go and encourage somebody else? You can't do that. And there's so much brokenness, like God said, told me, there's so much brokenness in the body of Christ. There's more brokenness in the church, he said, than there is in the world. Why does that happen? Because there's too many people standing behind pulpits that do not walk in the Spirit. And they're not listening to the voice of God. And they're, instead of building up, they're destroying people. I didn't say it was everybody. I said, there's too many. All right. I mean, I'm just going to bring up the Women of the Glow right now. The Women of the Glow, Barbara has worked her heart out for 4 years to do the Glow. People don't understand her, so they're putting her down. Now, see, that's not right. You don't destroy people like that. You don't. Why is this happening? It's happening because they're not, first of all, not listening to what the Holy Spirit's saying. Second of all, people feel threatened. But, you know, a leader has to be strong. Do you agree? A leader has to be strong. Now, they don't have to be bullheaded, but they have to be strong. And they also have to be teachable. They can't be unteachable. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I have to hear something 2 or 3, maybe 10 times before I finally get into my thick head of what people are trying to teach me, you know, just the way I am. And so, you know, if somebody's trying to teach you something, let's talk about the body of Christ. I'm talking about the body of Christ, not a glow, the body of Christ. And so if God's trying to teach you something, his, okay, let's put it this way. You know, I teach and I teach and I teach and I teach. And then somebody, will, they'll go to some seminar somewhere. They come back and say, guess what we just learned? I've been teaching that thing for 10 years. But they never got it. And they bring the tape. The tape just sounds like me speaking, but in a man's voice, you know. That's just how the body of Christ is. And I don't know why that is, but that's the way it is. It very easily could be because you're not walking in the Spirit, so therefore you're not being, you can't understand what God's trying to teach you, and it goes right over your head. Then finally it goes in an ear, you know, and it finally saturates your whole being. So that's not a bad thing. It is not a bad thing. Some of us just a little bit blockheaded, and I'm talking about myself. And it just takes a while. I have to hear it more than one time. I'm not, you know, you don't throw a person out because he didn't understand you the first time, second time, third time. Fourth time, you want to smack them good, you know. But you don't throw them out, and the church does that. You know, the church is supposed to be a hospital. When a person's down, you don't kick them. You minister to them and bring them up. I see too much kicking. So, too many of you are like Kent General. You kill the people. You know? Isn't that true, though? Isn't that what happens, Grace, in the body of Christ? Sure, you know. I'll look at her because she knows. She's older, too. Okay. All right, so I said the only place where the river would not flow was in the stagnant and inactive waters of the marshes and swamps, which is indifferent, hard-hearted souls. They were given over to salt. We all know about salt's ability to season and cause thirst. We also know about its healing properties. Most of the time, salt is good and beneficial. But there is another place in Scripture where salt was associated with perilous and death. Genesis 19:15 says, at dawn, the next morning, the angels became urgent. Hurry, they said to Lot. We're talking about Sodom and Gomorrah now. Hurry, they said to Lot, take your wife and your two daughters who are here and get out while you can, or you will be caught in the destruction of the city. When Lot still hesitated, the angel seized his hand and the hands of his wife and two daughters and rushed them to safety outside the city, for the Lord was merciful. See, God showed his mercy on them. Flee for your lives, the angels told him, and don't look back. Escape to the mountains. Don't stay down here on the plain, or you will die. And God's been telling us, you cannot walk in religion anymore, or you're going to die. You have to walk in the Spirit. Oh, no, sirs, please, Lot begged. Since you've been so kind to me and saved my life and you've granted me such mercy, let me flee to that little village over there instead of into the mountains, for I fear disaster in the mountain. See, the village is close by and is just a small one. Please, please let me go there. Instead, don't you see how small it is and my life will be saved? All right, so I'm going to stop there. This guy, he didn't want to go to the mountain top. He wanted to go to some small city. And that's what some of the people of the body of Christ is. Don't send me to the mountain, because of the mountain, I'm going to have to deal with things. Let me go to this little small place and just sit down, you know, and I'll just be part of the scenery. But we can't be part of the scenery anymore. We have to go to the mountain, and we have to be able to withstand all the onslaught of the enemy, because we are sent to bring in the harvest, and we're sent as warriors, not little wimps that want to go hide somewhere in a small place. All right, the angel said, I accept your proposition, and I won't and won't destroy that little city. Well, Lot saved that little city, whatever it was, all right? But hurry, for I can do nothing until you are there. All right, from that time on, that village was named Zoar, meaning little city. The sun was rising as Lot reached the village. Then the Lord rained down fire and flaming tar from heaven upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Who did that? God. Oh, well, I thought that's a loving God. He is a loving God. If you read about Sodom and Gomorrah, they were full of homosexuality, even wanted to have sex with the angels. The men even gave their daughters over to the men to molest, you know, and that place was messed up. All right, let's look at America. What is America like? Why is God allowing all this stuff? Everybody says, well, look at America. America is like Sodom and Gomorrah. All right, then the Lord rained down fire and flaming tar from heaven upon Sodom and Gomorrah and utterly destroyed them along with the other cities and villages of the plain, eliminating all life, people, plants, and animals alike. But Lot's wife looked back as she was falling along behind him and became a pillar of salt. What does God keep telling us? Don't look back, because there's nothing behind you that will benefit what I'm taking you into. And everybody wants to look back and have what they used to have. I was doing, because we had miracle service after miracle services. And then when God withdrew the spirit from the churches, then we had nothing. And I was tired of nothing. And I always say, well, if only we could go back to what we had. And God said, quit doing that, because what I'm taking you into is greater than what you left. So I'm asking each one of you in your soul, quit wanting to go back to what you, because right now you don't know what's going on. You feel like you're in a strait. You feel like God's not moving in your life. And so you say, well, I'd rather go back to what I used to have. At least there was some activity there. And don't think that way. Move forward, because we have a greater works that God is going to have us do. And I know we've been waiting a long time for this, but believe me, God's been doing a work within each one of us so that we will not be a curse to him. We will bless him as we go forth, and he uses us with great signs, wonders, and miracles. Even while Sodom was being destroyed and Lot and his family were being led to a new place to begin a new life, and this is what God's trying to do to us, Lot's wife would not let go of her former surroundings. Let go of your former surroundings right now, guys. Don't hold on to anything you used to have. Don't want it, because what you're going into is so much greater. The familiar city had become a comfortable place for her, even in spite of its oppressive influence. And how many of us, we get comfortable in the middle of sin, and we don't want to move forward? Once Lot's wife made the decision to turn back, that choice changed her forever. She became a useless pillar of salt that could no longer go back or move forward. Her decision caused death to a new dream, a new life, and even to herself. Are you listening? Journey to a new land. Unlike Abraham, who had by faith left all that was known to him behind in order to go to an unfamiliar place and an unfamiliar land. Are you ready to let go of what you're used to go into something unfamiliar? Because you needed to make that decision this morning. Are you ready to let go? Are you ready to go ahead and move forward with God? No matter what it is that God's doing in your life, are you ready to go? You're unfamiliar with what God's doing, but that's okay. Are you ready to let go of everything so he can take? And there's, in the transition, he has to cut things off of us. There changes have to be made before we can go into the new. Don't be like Lot's wife. Lot's wife turned back, unwilling and unable to believe that God had something better for her up ahead. Now, how many of you in here can believe this morning that God has something better for you? Good. Hold on to that, because he does have something better for you than what he asked you to leave behind. She lacked both the desire and the faith to move on. The known can become a place that we don't necessarily enjoy or dislike. It is a place like the Sinai Desert, where we may want the scenery to change, but we don't really want to meet the challenges before us to get to a new place. Now, I'm not like that. I'm willing to meet any challenge. Let's just keep moving. You know, I'm tired of being stagnant. I'm tired of standing here, spinning my wheels, doing nothing. But God doesn't care how tired I get. He's going to move when he wants to. But we have to be willing. See, God watches our heart. And when he sees we're really willing to move forward, then he's going to move us forward. Why do you let people tear you down? I just want to slap them real good and keep on moving myself. Don't let them tear you down. You're a child of God. You're walking in the Spirit. You hear God's voice. I mean, this is what should be going on. You're hearing God's voice, and keep allowing God to move you. Are you listening here? It doesn't matter what life's thrown at you. God has your hand. He knows where he's leading you to. Move with him. The familiar and uncomfortable become a desert where we aimlessly wander around in the same places for years but never really get anywhere. This known place requires no effort or faith, but we convince and comfort ourselves in the illusion that we will get there someday anyway. I'm sorry, I don't walk in delusion. I don't want to get there someday. I just say, God, whatever it is, it's still not stripped off me. Get it off of me and move me forward. I'm really tired of spinning my wheels. How about you? You know, what God has taken us into is going to be so exciting. It's a big adventure. Let go of what you have right now. Just say, God, I just drop it. Quit fooling yourself. And let's just move with God. Now we can choose to stay in ankle deep waters of the Spirit filled life and even feel the little current of its flow around us, but we will never move out into the place where we are consumed by its torrential life giving power. Now what do you want this morning? Do you want to stay ankle deep? Or do you want to stay drown me deep? I skipped the whole page. Sorry, Brad. Did you find me? All right. I put down, we can walk out as far as we want into the river, and the Holy Spirit will be there encouraging us to come deeper and deeper still. He will never chide us or turn away from us for only wanting to go in so far. But we will also never know the freedom, power, release, joy, and refreshing of going in over our heads. I've been in over my head. And I'm telling you guys, what we're living is not living. It is not. You need to go in over your head if you're really going to live for Christ. If you're really going to do a mighty works for God, you cannot stay where you're at right now. You have to go deeper and deeper and deeper. All right, I wrote down here, the transition from shallow to deep waters requires faith and a letting go. You have to let go. But it mostly requires a desire to go deeper and a willingness to be swept away in the current of his purposes alone. Now, do you want your purposes done in your life? Or do you want God's purposes done? You know, you guys, I think about each one of you individually about every day, and I think about how God encourages you and he tells you where he's going to take you to, but also watch you just sort of spinning your wheels and thinking, you know, is it really where he's going to take me to? Is he really ever going to use me? And that's the devil putting doubt and unbelief in you, and you need to quit that. You need to do like I do, tell the devil to go shut up. That he had, you know, I listen to God's voice and God's voice only. You don't have to live a mundane life in Christ. God never meant us just to sit in a church and do nothing. He meant us to be active. He meant us to walk in the Spirit. And if you're walking in the Spirit, then why are you sinning all the time? You ask yourself these questions. If I'm walking in spirit, why am I agreeing with people that I know they're not doing the right thing, but I agree? Because after all, I have to be part of the flow here. Hey, if you're walking in the spirit, you're going to stand out. You're going to be different. And people are going to reject you. They're going to see all manner of evil about you. But you have to stay in the path God has placed your feet on. You have to know what God has spoken to you. And because it's you that's going to win the prize. And if you stand before God and he asked you why you didn't do something, well, they said, that's not going to go with God. And seeing that happen to me, God was just using me to do miracle after miracle after miracle. And the pastors in this area kept saying, she's not a God. She don't go to her church. And then she's doing things she shouldn't be doing. And I got so that I questioned myself when I'd be praying for somebody. God, are you really going to heal this person? Wrong. Yes, he would still want to heal that person, same as he's been healing all those years. And I finally got myself into that place where I had doubt and unbelief. And God said, that I doubted that God would even heal the people. And God said to me, if you don't get out of doubt and unbelief, I'm going to remove your candlestick. So I'm going to tell you, each one of you here this morning, you better get out of doubt and unbelief about the Holy Spirit. Or God won't even give you a candlestick. And if you have a candlestick, he will remove it because he's tired of people destroying his people. Yeah, by people I mean pastors, bishops, whatever your title yourself, you're hurting God's people and he's upset with that. Now, I don't care what church you go to. I don't care what organization you're in. I don't care what your job title is. You have to be walking in the Spirit so you can draw all men unto Christ. Now, are you drawing people to Christ? Or are you shoving them away because you're not walking in the Spirit and therefore you're not hearing the voice of God and you're not doing what God's calling you to do? God's saying very serious this morning. He said, are you going to make the grade or are you not? I want you to take a few minutes to think about that. Then we're going to have the altar call. I know this is longer than I wanted it to be, but it's very serious what God is trying to get you people to do. He really needs you to get so deep in that river that you'll be drowned and you'll never walk in your flesh ever again. Now, if you're sitting here and if you want to be honest, you could say, yes, I see a lot of flesh in the body of Christ. When I go to church on Sundays, Wednesdays, whatever, I see flesh there instead of spirit. You don't want to be that flesh. You want to be so full of the Spirit that your presence in that church changes the atmosphere in that church and people will be changed.